Radio Prague News.
A Czech police unit specializing in fighting organized crime has noted a rise in cybercrime, tax fraud, and extortion. Drought is affecting two-thirds of the country, with groundwater levels at their lowest average points since the 1960s, and 12 singers advanced to the final rounds of Placido Domingo's Operela competition in Prague. Czech police unit charged with combating organized crime released its annual report on Thursday. Among other things, it points to a rise in cybercrime, including phishing attacks to steal personal data and account numbers, and cases of extortion using ransomware. It also noted high levels of tax evasion and fraud, especially among Vietnamese and Chinese-owned businesses, which it said often use chains of companies to mask transactions. It further noted an increase in bogus ID cards and papers, especially from Romania, Poland, and Lithuania. The annual police report said that illegal employment of foreigners, especially Ukrainians, is often arranged by organized criminal gangs. The Upper House of Parliament voted 48-20 with 7 abstentions in favor of a proposal for a constitutional complaint against President Miloš Zeman. The impulse for the draft complaint is the alleged influencing of the judiciary by President Zeman and members of his staff. The president's recent unwillingness to accept the resignation of Culture Minister Antonín Staněk has also been added into the complaint. If it also receives support from the majority of MPs in the lower house, the draft proposal will reach the Constitutional Court. Groundwater levels remain at their lowest average point since the 1960s, according to the Czech Hydrometeorological Institute, despite heavy rains in recent days. Soil drought now afflicts more than two-thirds of the country, and no relief is in sight. Experts say sustained rain and isolated thunderstorms only raise humidity levels in the upper soil strata, not groundwater levels. Syphilis cases are on the rise throughout Europe, according to the European Center for Disease Prevention and Control. In the Czech Republic, the data show a 70% increase in reported cases between the years 2010 and 2017, the last year for which comparable figures are available. Despite the rise in reported cases, the Czech rate of infection is less than half the European Union average of 6.1 cases per 100,000 people. 12 young opera singers have advanced to the final rounds of Placido Domingo's annual Operalia competition, now underway at the Czech National Theatre in Prague. The finalists, selected from 40 singers from across the globe, will compete for prizes of up to $30,000 each in the final round concert on Friday evening. That concert features the finalists performing alongside an orchestra conducted by Placido Domingo himself. It will be live streamed on the organization's Facebook page. Meanwhile, pop singer Karol Gott, who turned 80 last month, has cancelled an appearance at the upcoming Banatska Notes Festival in Liberec due to acute pneumonia. Gott was due to perform on Thursday, the eve of the festival, at the traditional Party for the Impatient. It was to have been his last public performance this year. The festival is considered among the most beautiful in the Czech Republic. It traditionally features headliners in 3 musical genres over 3 days: rock on Friday, pop on Saturday, and folk music on Sunday. And finally, the weather. Friday should be hot and sunny, with light cloud cover mainly in the eastern half of the country. Average highs should hover at around 31 to 32 degrees Celsius. Rain is in the forecast for the weekend. I'm Brian Kennedy, and that's the news for now.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. Coming up in today's programme, the Senate has voted for a constitutional complaint against President Zeman in a legal move that seems doomed, however. Czechs are living longer, but not in good health. And later we take a trip to the country's iconic town of Český Krumlov. All that coming up, so please stay with us. The Czech Senate has voted to bring charges against President Miloš Zeman for allegedly violating the country's constitution, including by refusing to appoint a government minister. However, the makeup of the lower house means the move is unlikely to oust the head of state. Ian Willoughby reports.
On Wednesday, the Upper House of Parliament voted 48 to 20 in favour of taking a complaint against President Milos Zeman to the Constitutional Court. The senators behind the move initially accused the president and his staff of seeking to influence the judiciary. Seven other charges of violating the constitution have also been levelled against him, including not acting in line with official foreign policy and failing to remove or appoint a government minister. For the matter to reach the highest court in the land, it would also need the support of three-fifths of Czech MPs. That's highly unlikely in view of the composition of the Chamber of Deputies. But Senator Jiří Růžička, who was elected on a joint Top 09 and Mayors and Independents ticket, says the upper house was duty-bound to act.
We can't consider in advance about whether the Chamber of Deputies approves it or not, but we, who ought to oversee adherence to the Constitution and constitutionality, believe that constitutionality is not being adhered to. We have to put forward the motion regardless of what happens next.
After Wednesday's behind-closed-doors vote, the head of the Civic Democrat Senators Group, Miloš Vystrčil, said the upper house was carrying out the task for which it was established.
I'm glad the Senate has succeeded in fulfilling its duty and its powers set by the Constitution and giving the Chamber of Deputies the space to allow the Czech public, the Czech population, to discover whether the president has been violating the Constitution in a serious manner.
Among the seven senators who abstained on Wednesday was Upper House Speaker Jaroslav Kubera. He says the vote wasn't necessary.
It's not a question of adherence to the Constitution or otherwise. It's a question of simple common sense, for which we do not need the Constitution. If, and this is a political rule, a coalition party has the right to a minister's position, it makes a nomination. If the other party doesn't like it, they can't question it. Otherwise, why form a coalition?
Mr. Kubera is referring here to the ongoing impasse surrounding the replacement of the Minister of Culture, where critics say the president is overstepping his powers. Given the evident doomed nature of the senator's move, Mr. Zeman's spokesman Jiří Ovčáček was typically withering in his response.
From the factual perspective, it has no meaning whatsoever, because the chances of this matter also being approved by the Chamber of Deputies are close to zero. As for the actual content, this has nothing at all to do with the Constitution. It's a political pamphlet.
The senator's action does have precedent. 6 years ago, the upper house voted on an ultimately fruitless constitutional complaint against then-head of state Václav Klaus.
Ian Willoughby reporting there. As elsewhere in the developed world, the average life expectancy for Czech men and women has been growing. But the sad news is that they are not spending their old age in good health. The Czech Health Ministry is ringing alarm bells and focusing on campaigns that will raise awareness of the health risks responsible for serious illnesses in the ageing population. Daniela Lazarová looked into the details.
Czech men can expect to live for 76 years on average, but the last 15 years of their lives will involve tackling serious health problems, which arrive soon after they turn 60. Women have an even higher life expectancy, on average 82 years of age, but like their male counterparts, they will spend a lot of their old age in doctors' waiting rooms. While the average life expectancy of the population is growing, the healthy life expectancy has not budged for half a century. So what are Czechs doing wrong? Deputy Health Minister Alena Šteflová says they only have themselves to blame.
The main problems are cardiovascular diseases, oncological illnesses, respiratory problems, diabetes, and health problems linked to obesity. All of these illnesses are linked to lifestyle, poor nutrition, lack of exercise, smoking and drinking.
A comparative health survey covering the past 50 years shows that while Sweden has raised the healthy life expectancy of its population by 9 years, the Czech Republic has only managed to increase the life expectancy of an ailing population. The Health Ministry says this is linked to high risk factors such as smoking, drinking, and fatty foods that are typical of the Czech national cuisine. The majority of Czechs don't eat enough vegetables, don't drink enough non-alcoholic beverages and don't move enough. The high tolerance for smoking and the nation's love of beer all contribute to serious health problems in the over 60 age bracket. Surveys show that although Czechs put good health at the top of the ladder of values, they do very little to promote it. 60% of the population is overweight and 30% is obese. Moreover, few people bother about prevention. Alena Štefflová again.
Screeningové programy, opět také ta nabídka je úžasná.
The Czech health system offers a wide range of screening programs, but people simply don't make use of the opportunities afforded. They do very little in terms of prevention. That is something that we want to change. We need campaigns that will not only reach the public, but bring about a change of attitude. I think we need to have a broad debate on the subject and are only beginning to address the issue properly now.
Takže je to v tuhletu chvíli opravdu o začátku diskuze, o začátku debat.
In view of the country's aging population, the degree to which sickness is linked to old age is alarming. The ministry is now working not only on the problem of increased health awareness among Czechs, but scrambling to meet the needs of the population on a practical level.
Daniela Lazarová with that story. Just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time to take a trip to Český Krumlov. The historic South Bohemian jewel, which ranks among the country's most popular tourist destinations, has also been a UNESCO World Heritage Site for over 20 years. Jan Vellinger tells his story.
The city of Prague is one of the most beautiful in the world, but no one visiting the Czech Republic should miss the South Bohemian jewel that is Český Krumlov, marking 25 years since its addition to UNESCO's list of World Heritage Sites. The town of about 14,000 inhabitants, which dates back all the way to the 13th century, attracts roughly 800,000 visitors annually, and there are plenty of reasons why. A stunning castle. Castle tower and chateau on a rocky promontory overlooking a picturesque historic center. And there is nothing more striking than crossing a bend in the Vltava River that circles around the famous teardrop-shaped town. The town's castle is second only to Prague Castle in size, offering 8 tours covering history, arts, and culture. And it's not surprising Český Krumlov, which is featured in numerous fairy tale films, and oddly enough is a fictional town in Slovakia, in the horror film The Hostel, attracts as many tourists as it does. The town's mayor, Dalibor Tsarda, says that in the early years after the fall of communism, many visitors were from neighboring Austria and Germany, many of them Sudeten Germans in the border area, whose families were expelled from Czechoslovakia after World War II. Since then, the town has only grown as a major tourist site, attracting visitors from near and far. Mayor Dalibor Tsarda.
Tourism here has changed quite a bit over the years. After the first boom of visitors from across the border in Austria and Germany after 1989, it grew quickly. A second wave, interestingly, came from America, some of whom settled here for good. We have some foreign nationals who've lived here for 20 years and made Český Krumlov their home. There is an Italian ice cream maker, jewelers from the Balkans who have also been here for a long time, and Americans who stayed and also learned to speak Czech.
And many who came to Český Krumlov came at a time when many sites were still dilapidated after years of neglect by the former communist regime. And in some ways, the poor state of affairs added to the town's initial charm and mystery. And since then, investment has seen many historic buildings revitalized and transformed, and the number of visitors has only gone up. The mayor again.
When it comes to tourism, the biggest change is there in the last 3 years, when there was a big increase in the number of visitors from Southeast Asia due to a deal with Czech Airlines with Korean Air. We also had a lot of tourists from South Korea and Japan. We've also attracted many more tourists coming from China. That is the newest wave from the last few years.
And early in the morning when we visited, there were still relatively few tourists about. That would change in a little under an hour as tour buses rolled up. And what in the 1990s was a backpacking set has been at least partially replaced by large tours of 20 or more, with guides holding up umbrellas weaving their way through Krumlov's historic streets as they make their way through to the castle. Chinese, Russian and English are among some of the languages heard. I spoke to a number of visitors on the town's main square, Ingrid, Laura and Phil from Canada, and Lynn from Taiwan.
We're from Vancouver, Canada, and it's beautiful. It's quite different. We were first in Austria and Steiermark, and now we came here, and it's very different. The culture's different. Beautiful.
Have you just come over for the day, or do you expect to spend a few days?
No, we are going tomorrow to Prague, but we'll spend the day here.
We're traveling together, first time here, and it's unbelievably beautiful here. It's like a storybook, and we're moving on to Prague tomorrow.
Do you share the same impressions, positive impressions from the Czech Republic?
Very positive so far, first impression. But the weather needs to be warmer now. Yesterday was so picturesque. This was great photo day, but today is a little bit gray.
Yeah, I do enjoy the city. And also yesterday we have been to the ghost tour, and I really enjoyed that a lot because, yeah, you can hear a lot of local story. And I think something to do with the history also and how the people live in the past in this town. Yeah, so it was really great.
And the biggest attraction in Český Krumlov, besides a top museum dedicated to the great Austrian painter Egon Schiele, who was born there, is without a doubt the castle itself. No visit to the town would be complete without it. We spoke to the castle's longtime manager, Pavel Slavko, whose enthusiasm for the site and its many charms and secrets is boundless. He's done a wonderful job over the years in promoting Český Krumlov, and normally he prefers historic studies and facts, but he acknowledges that legends about the site are many and enjoyed by the visitors. He was kind enough to tell us one that he liked, which will resonate with anyone who has a full-time job.
Of course, countless legends accompany the real history of places like the castle at Český Krumlov. We have a specialist here in town, Mrs. Brownova, who knows all the legends and myths. My personal favourite here at the castle pertains to buildings on the first courtyard, where it's said sometimes at night a terrible racket can be heard. It's said to be the ghost of a hooper who was sworn to deliver 2 barrels by the wine harvest, but he died before he could complete the work, so his restless ghost continues to reappear. It's a beautiful legend which shows how one life is not enough to complete the job and how you have to continue even after death.
And speaking of completing things on time, most visits to Český Krumlov by tourists are at most a single day, and that is something of a conundrum. With so many castle tours to choose from, a famous Baroque theatre, gardens, historic squares, churches, and a former monastery, not to mention a slew of famous restaurants, well, one day is hardly enough. Mayor Dalibor Sarda says that there are those in the know who visit for 4 or 5 days in a row when they come to get the most out of this rich and delightful city. Lodgings vary in price, he told Radio Prague. He said there was still enough on offer for everyone, even those on a more limited budget. And the other paradox is that while Český Krumlov is undeniably one of the most beautiful cities some of us will ever visit, these days, sadly, it appears to be too busy. Locals say that there is, in fact, now no off-season, and that is a shame. It has made the town less attractive for those who live there, and even for tourists. If you want to enjoy a pristine Krumlov, as I did more than 20 years ago, you have to get up very early in the morning to ever have its romantic streets or overlooking castle to yourself. Simply put, it's crowded. And one person who calls Český Krumlov home is Sasha Leaders from Brazil, who fell in love with the town some 15 years ago and now has mixed feelings about the way things have gone.
I came to Prague the first time in 2001, stayed for 2 weeks, loved it. Then came back in 2002 to Prague, and there I saw the floods on television with a friend, and he mentioned to me about Krumlov. He was like, oh my God, you're not going to see the most beautiful city or town in the Czech Republic. And he was like, we have to go. So he convinced me to come to Český Krumlov, and I didn't want to come. And at first, I was like, I don't want to go. I love Prague. Prague is amazing. And he, after a lot of convincing, got me to come for 2 days to Český Krumlov. Well, those 2 days turned into 3 weeks, where I went back to Prague just to get the rest of my stuff, and I came back for another 2-3 months. And yeah, the reason that I stayed was the atmosphere. The place was just incredible. The buildings were not renovated. It looked like I had stepped in to a real medieval town. And I don't think they really thought about what's going to become of it. I think it was just like, oh, we're growing, we're making this money, things are going great for everybody. About the town, well, we can think about that later.
And in that sense, says Sasha and his colleague Martina Bodlákova, things have gotten worse.
I think it's most visible in that regular shops and services have disappeared. You used to have a local bakery, a hardware store, a seamstress, normal shops, and these have gotten harder to find. There are almost none left.
Both Martina and Sasha are involved in an annual cultural festival called Zažít město jinak, which reclaims parts of the historic center for 1 day for locals. Even tourists, of course, can take part, but the idea is for the town to survive not only as a backdrop or some kind of open-air museum, but as a real living city, but as I said, for 1 day. Sasha Leaders makes clear that while he still loves Český Krumlov and always will, he doubts it'll ever again be the same.
So you're stuck with this, how do you bring people back to town and yet, you know, and let the businesses thrive that cater to the citizens of the town? And that's the problem that I think the town is aware of, and I don't know if there is a solution. Maybe the genie's out of the bottle and you can't put it back in.
And that was Brazilian national Sasha Lidres, who has become a local resident of Český Krumlov, speaking to Jan Velina in this feature, which was first broadcast on November 18th, 2017. If you have any comments about today's programme, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. That is all for now from me, Tom McEncrow. Thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.